Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday, June the 7th, even though I'm recording this a lot earlier, but this is what the program is for. This is Satsang, where I answer questions from people all over the world, people such as yourself who are looking for maybe a different point of view. I would never like to think that my responses here were answers to questions in your life that were absolute, because I just don't do absolute very well. So I am hoping that my offerings here serve you well, and maybe they will provoke you in some way to enter into an authentic spiritual practice, which would be really lovely. And that's my motive and my modus of operandi. This program, this satsang that replaces radio, what we call radio, is being broadcast from our website here at aspire.org due to the sponsorship of people who care enough to offer something unique like this to the world. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain this. Our mystery donor has made this possible with his contribution, and he hopes that you will join him, and he will match your donation for being a sponsor, just for listening to this radio program and helping us sustain. So he hopes that you're interested. I do too. It's an important thing. Let's get on with it. First question comes from John. I have some really thought-provoking, interesting questions that came my way. These questions were compiled for about a month, and as they came in, I keep them in little categories, so that's why you're going to hear it in succinct order as it is here. First one's from John in Nevada. He says, I fear the consequences of myself. I just can't endure what I've done in my life. It makes it hard to close my eyes and really listen. Can you help, John? John, you're a very thoughtful person, evidently. And I admire your courage. I admire that you are looking at this thing from the point of view that you are looking at it from. You say you fear the consequences of yourself, and you just can't endure what you have done. I don't know what you have done. It's none of my business. But whatever it was done out of ignorance, I'm sure. I don't know what you imagine the consequences being for this ignorance. I don't know. But we imagine many things in our life. We have a lot of fears about what we've said, what we've done, regret for all the things that we have done that haven't been kind or loving or, shall we say, compassionate. There are consequences for everything we do. There are consequences for our anger. There's consequences for our hatred. There's consequences for our fears. They do exist. I will admit that. But to sit and worry about it, to fret about it, to not be willing to, shall we say, look into them and see what the nature of them was really all about, just makes things worse. Now, I don't know if you've seen any of these consequences starting to come into your life. You don't mention that. But oftentimes they do in ways in which we do not really recognize. Sometimes the consequences come in the form of disappointments or something that is trying to get our attention. And if there is something in your life right now that's trying to get your attention, it would be a really good time for you to listen and to try to listen to what is getting your attention. Now, right now, it appears to me like it's guilt and shame that's using you to, shall we say, make you feel bad about who and what you are and what you've done. Useless guilt and shame. They don't do any good for us at all. And for you to participate in useless guilt and shame is not going to help you at all. So I would recommend right off the bat, right off the cuff here, that you start looking at your life not from the idea of guilt and shame, but starting to look at your life from the premise of understanding, of compassion. What is it about me that made all this possible? You know, John, I have students, and typically they don't know. They do terrible things. I have a cartoon in my mind about it all, and they really just don't get it. They honestly just don't get it. It's like sitting in church and listening to some sermon, and the plate goes by, and you don't put anything in it. Okay, you just pass it to the next person. And why you do that is because you don't like the sermon, or you don't like the minister, or you don't like any of it. And you see no reason to give because that minister, that sermon, didn't deserve your support. This is the way people think. And as long as I think that way, I'm going to set up circumstances and conditions for my life that are very painful, because we all sit in the church of our life, and the hat is always being passed one way or another, metaphorically. It can come in the form of having a chance to do kindness and love to someone you don't like, or something that occurs in your life that is unpleasant, and you treat it with disrespect and hatred. And that those things are passing the hat, as I call it. And when I do that, when I pass the hat and I don't give when I really could give, and I don't do kindness when I really could be kind, just because of my preferences, that is where I set up the consequences. And more this happens. The easier it is to pass the plate, as I always say. And I watch people do it. I watch my students do it. I watch them. They have a chance to be kind, to be unconscionable, and they don't. They give little of the much which they have, some of them, in the form of their energy, their time, their compassion, their forgiveness, even the time to their practice. And there is consequences to all of that. There really is. It is the effort you put into anything that matters. So maybe the thing to do here is to no longer pass the hat, as it were, John. Look into your life, and when you have a chance to do something unconscionably kind and loving and generous, even though your sensibilities say, oh my God, I can't do that. Oh my God, I can't do that. Oh my God, I can't do that. You do it anyway because you really can do that. And if you start to look at your life from the premise of that, you might have something very unique going on. You might be changing your consequences. You might be changing your hatred. You might be changing your life a little bit. The consequences for kindness and love are just as powerful as those with hate and fear. And why not go with the kindness? Why not go with the compassion? Why not put a little something in the plate, as it were? And as you get more and more knowledgeable, maybe more and more awakened would be a better word, you'll start to see the more you put in the plate, as it were, when it passes from you or to you, is the setting up of consequences in your life. And maybe forgiveness is in order, and that would really be the plate you want to put your totality in, metaphorically speaking. And then when you do, something of the other shore, something of a great beauty, something of a great love will touch your life. Even for just a moment, something of a great beauty will come into your life. And it's worth it. It's totally worth it. When I have an opportunity, John, to be kind, I jump on it because I know how I've lived my life. It hasn't been stellar. I didn't know what I was doing half the time when I was doing stupid things when I was younger. I really didn't know. I was very pointed towards wanting to do the most beautiful thing I could, but I dropped the ball quite a few times, I'm sure. And when I did, I had consequences for it. I really did. And then I looked at it and I thought, those consequences are actually opportunities for me to mature and grow out of my hate, my fear, my anger, to do something quite beautiful. And instead of looking at it as punishment, I looked at it as the chance to change my life by being willing to render unto Caesar the things that were Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's, as the old Bible quote goes. Jesus talked about it. Just give. Don't give because you should. Don't give because it's the right thing to do. All that other stuff that you hear, it's all crap anyway. Give because you can. Because you realize somehow deep inside of you, you haven't had a stellar life and you haven't done stellar things. You haven't done anything beautiful, not really. And all you've done is take, take, take. That's the way I look at it with me. I just want to make amends for the way I've been. I just want to make amends. Take that humble attitude. If you do, John, it will serve you well, I promise you. And if I can ever help you, you have my phone number here on the website, or contact me through email and we'll get together and we'll chat. And I'd be honored to help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. In the many years of my session work, I have had many people who just can't bear what they've done. They look at their life and they see all of the things they've done and they can't believe how ugly it has been. I've had many a person sit on my couch and cry, just cry, looking at what the hell was I thinking? What the hell was I doing? It's a really good question. And most people don't really understand what they were doing and how painful it all was and the whole deal. So I understand John's question. Bless his heart. Hope he calls me. I really do. I want to help him. The next question comes from Richard. What is the meaning of life as you see it? I really don't get it. I sit here day after day working and slaving, and I don't get why I'm here just to stay alive. Richard. The meaning of life. Reminds me of a great story. This guy wanted to know the meaning of life. So he decided to go to the Himalayas, where he had heard that there was a great guru that sat on the mountaintop of the Himalayas. So he sold everything he had, and it took him 10 years to reach the guru, but he wanted to know what the meaning of life was. The guru was very difficult to find. People had heard of him, but no one knew exactly where he sat. Well, finally, he found someone that knew, and he crawls, bleeding and tortured by his climb, up to the place where the guru sits. And he asked the guru, he said, I have come to ask you the question of questions. Please help me. What is the meaning of life? And the guru looks at him and says, meaning? There's a meaning to this life? This is the way people are. You want to know something about the meaning of your life and have it pertain to the mind that seeks the answer, and here's the clue. any answer that would be given to you, you couldn't comprehend. It wouldn't make quote-unquote sense, and the guru knew it. Meaning in life? You mean there is one? What could I possibly say to you to give you meaning? I mean, really, what could I possibly say? I could give you philosophy. I could give you religion. I could give you philosophers. There are plenty of them out there, thousands. Socrates, Hegel, Gurdjieff, Ouspensky. There's so many. Which one do you want to hear from? Life is an interesting thing. Its meaning only pertains to the person who's in that life. So the meaning of my life would not maybe pertain to the meaning of your life. I have karma. You have karma. How we are living in that karma, how we exist in that karma, is very different and yet very much the same. So when you are asking a question like, what is the meaning of life? You are saying to me, what is it that appeals to my sense of understanding? Tell me something that I can understand that appeals to my sense of right and wrong, good and bad, up and down, in and out. How the heck can anyone do that? What means something to me? What is important to me may not be important to you. I am not here to tell you the meaning of life. The meaning of life is life itself. And however you look at your life and approach it, that is the meaning of your life. Now, if you need to look at it from another point of view, if you need to look at it from the point of view of morality or some kind of purpose that motivates you to live a better life as you would see it, could be the wrong answer. Who's to say? My karma is this, your karma is that. Who's to say that we could absolutely say this is the meaning of life? You could say it's you're here to find the meaning of your karma, find the meaning of your existence. I could say all of that, and it could all be true or not. It depends on how you interpret it. Many times I've been asked questions from people whose capacity for the answer was lesser than their question. And they could not really comprehend the answer at all. What do I do? What do I say to this person? You want it black and white. You want it maybe a shade of gray here and there. Something you can understand. I have often sat in meditation and asked the question, you know, something that was bugging me, something that was on my mind, something that I was dealing with. And in doing all of that and in living in that way, trying to find that answer, I blew it. Because my mind was not in proportion to my question. My mind did not have the symmetry of the question involved. My mind is Greg Penn mind. It does stupid things. It goes into cul-de-sacs. It lives in a cul-de-sac here, a cul-de-sac there. My Greg Penn mind is always thinking about, well, how do you do this to get that? Very Neanderthal. I'm a knuckle dragger. Just by nature, I'm a knuckle dragger. So how am I to answer this question and help you? Chances are, Richard, you too are a knuckle dragger. You don't get it. Maybe that's the answer, that you don't get it. Maybe life is something that we experience that we don't get. Maybe it's about not the getting, but just simply the living. And what if it has nothing to do with getting and understanding and comprehending? What if it had nothing to do with any of that? Nada. And it was just a matter of living and living and living. One moment at a time, one moment at a time, one moment at a time. Maybe to know the fate of your life is to know the destiny of your living. And if you can move into that if you can accept that without fear and anger, maybe something beautiful can happen to you. It's a thought. It's something to consider. This is a beautiful question you have given me. And I am deeply moved by it. I'm deeply moved that I had the honor of receiving this question. And it is enough. Whether I answered it for you, I don't know. It's a question that can be answered at 1,000 different levels, but it's best not to be answered at all. It is best for you to search for that answer, to know the love that lives within you. That's what's best. Richard, life, make it not a quest. Make it an experience. Let it be. Find it. Move in it. Breathe in it. Play in it. Be sad in it. Find the truth in it. Because the truth is you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question. As a teacher, I live for that kind of question. Just live for it. I'm very honored. The last question comes from Thomas, and he doesn't tell me where he listens to us from. I've gotten a great deal in my life, money, family, and friends. I worry about losing it all. I just wonder, will I? And what makes me so lucky? Thomas. Thomas, you must have suspicions about who you are. You must have suspicions about the way you are. There must be a lot going on within you. Most people would say, ah, you're eating, drinking, and being merry. You're doing something right. Maybe your suspicion is very good because you know somewhere this is a setup. And that things are being set up for you, that not everything is the way you think it is, blah, 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 blah. Instead of being afraid, be suspicious. Just watch. Watch without really suspicion. I shouldn't have even said that, but just watch. Observe. See what is happening. What illusions are occurring. What delusions you're falling into day after day after day about your own life. You might get something out of that. You might comprehend something that is deeper, more, shall we say, spectacular than just living, sitting there, wondering when you're going to lose it all. Most people would say, enjoy it. You're doing something right. I disagree with that. I don't know if you're doing anything right, and I don't believe that there is anything to do that is quote-unquote right. Things are happening for you the way they are happening, and typically things like this are a setup. What do I mean by that? It means that there is something else going on while you're sitting there enjoying yourself and worrying about what's going on and enjoying it at the same time, the sweet and sour pork of it all. But something else is happening. Something is trying to get your attention. And it's no different than if you had hardship. What people don't realize is there's no difference between hardship and, shall we say, fortune. People would say, well, if I got to get the message, I'd rather have it through, you know, something fortunate than some hardship. But there is more to it than that. There is a lot more to it than that. If you were to understand the nature of your life, you have to understand the nature of your heart, the nature of your being. Go into the nature of things. Don't look at things from the point of view of, oh, gee, I'm getting away with it. Look at all the good things. Look, watch. There is a law in place, Thomas, that none of us want to acknowledge, and those of us who do don't necessarily care for it. It's the law of impermanence, and it's in play at all times. Things change very quickly. So rather than gearing your happiness and your security or your identity or whatever towards your circumstances and thinking, well, if my circumstances are good, I must be good, Just keep watching. Watch. Live in forgiveness. Live in compassion. Live ready to move into remorse at any time. Live in humility, and you will find the way very quickly in your life. Something is trying to happen in your life. You're being set up for the big shamata, and I don't know what that is. I'm not saying it's bad, so please don't misinterpret me. But I'm not saying it's good either. I'm just saying watch. The more you watch, the more you observe, the more you get that, the more you're going to find you have a very interesting life. And nothing is as it seems. I would say to you, my dear friend, want nothing with all of your heart. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I could serve you with, please come to the website here at aspire.org. Take a look at the top page. You will see contact. Contact me. Send me an email. Something on your mind. If you don't want me to use your name or where you live, that's fine. I'd be happy to hold that back, as it were. But what I really care about is your question. Thank you for the privilege of being with you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.